what I wanted to talk about tonight, if I had to give a title to it, it's a question I asked myself a lot growing up. And I think it's a question that a lot of young people ask, especially now, is why am I here? And not only why am I here, but where am I going? What's next for me? A lot of times it can be confusing growing up, especially in this city. You get a lot of stuff thrown at you from all different sides, from media, from family, from school, if you have a job, from work. And then you come here to church and you hear truth. And in your heart, you know it's truth, but sometimes it's so hard to juggle with everything else that's getting thrown at you all week long. So like I said, growing up myself, this was a question I asked myself a lot. Even though I was involved with ministry here, even though I was here Fridays, Sundays, during the week for rehearsals with the band, I would go on missions trips growing up. I started going on missions trips when I was 13. By the time I was in my mid-20s, I'd already been on 17 or 18 different missions trips to different countries. And again, it's not that I grew up with a super difficult life. God blessed me with an amazing job with a construction company when I got out of college. I had my own apartment when I was in my early 20s. And I mean, things were going well for me, but there was always something inside of me that there was just always this question, like, what am I doing here? Like, what's really my purpose here? Now, growing up in church, I heard a lot of preaching about purpose and why we are where we are. And you'd hear verses in 1 Corinthians, it says, God bought us with a high price, so we have to honor God with our lives. In Jeremiah, it says, I've loved you. I love my people with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love, and I'm drawing you to myself. God's telling us we're here because he wants to love on us. We hear again in Jeremiah 29, for I know I have the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And again, this was always a verse that I knew growing up. But getting through high school and then getting through college, a lot of times I guess I questioned it. Like, well, you're telling me you have plans for me, but what's the plan? Like, I want to know what the plan is. So when I was in my mid-20s, I was kind of in and out of a relationship that I had made up in my mind. I had knew the person I wanted to marry, and I guess I didn't really ask God if it was what he wanted for me, but it was something I kept pursuing for years and years. By the time I got into my mid-20s, that was falling apart. It was hurting me, it was hurting the other person, it was hurting my family, hindering the ministry and my involvement here at the church. I was working a lot. I was working sometimes double shifts in some of the projects that I had at work, and I just had so much going on. And in 2013, the church put out another missions schedule, and I saw that Guatemala was on the schedule again, and I had already been there 4 or 5 times before that on short-term trips. I loved it there. I loved the people. So it was just kind of a natural thing for me to sign up again. It was probably my 18th trip by then. I just enjoyed doing missions work. I was chosen to lead that team. And as the leader, I really was praying that God would give me something to share with the team. So we got down to Guatemala. We met up with the missionaries that we were working with. And the first night, I just got alone in my room and started praying. And I just didn't have anything to share with the team. I was reading my Bible, and God kept bringing me back to a verse that he had been speaking me to through for over a year. And as I was praying, God, show me what you want to speak to these people. I started feeling God speak to me, saying, you've been asking me for years what I want to do with you, and I keep bringing you on these missions trips. I'm calling you to missions. So right away in my head, I started, questioning it, because back home I had a great job. I had my own place. I had my own car. I was involved with ministry. And I was like, God, that's crazy, you know. I can't leave all that. You gave me all that. Why would you take it away from me? But I kept praying, and I just kept hearing the same thing over and over again. This is what I'm calling you to. When are you going to start listening to me? So again, that first night, I made the decision in my heart. All right, I'm going to do this. And I immediately started making plans. I was going to leave my job. I was going to get rid of my apartment, sell my car, tell my family I was leaving, and move to a jungle. As that week went on, there was somebody on the team from the church here who's now my wife. Didn't really know her before. I had seen her. She was in the choir here, but never really had a conversation with her, and didn't know anything about her. We started talking during that trip, and I started seeing God's hand on her life and things that he had been doing in her life with regards to missions, with regards to ministry. She's beautiful, so I was attracted to her. But again, in the back of my head for the whole week, I was like, you know, this is great. She's a great person, but I'm moving down here. There's no point in even pursuing any kind of a relationship with her because I'm moving to Guatemala. And who the heck wants to go to Guatemala? So by the end of the trip, I had been praying about it a lot, praying about all the plans I was making in my head to get down there. And I can't say that I had a clear word in my mind about what was going to happen next, but I had a peace in my heart. On the way home, I started sharing with her what God had been speaking to me about moving down there as a missionary, and I asked her to come with me. So like I said, she's already my wife. She said yes, and that kind of just set things in motion for the both of us because it was a huge step. She's a registered nurse here in New York. She also had a great job. She was living in her own house, her own car, same, very similar story to what I had. But God had also been tugging at her heart. The Holy Spirit had been speaking to her when she would pray and spend time in the Word. So when we both took the step, it really just set off a chain reaction with so many things in both of our lives. The last service, Nick Cassidy, Pastor Nick, preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how important it is, especially for the days ahead. A lot of times when we hear about preaching of the Holy Spirit, it's not always tangible to a lot of people. A lot of times it's hard to know how to hear the Holy Spirit or what that really looks like in someone's life. So as I was praying for tonight, I came to the book of Colossians, and we're going to run through some of the verses. We can't get through the whole book tonight. It's a short book. You could probably read through it in 20 minutes, so I recommend during the week, this week, read through Colossians. Paul wrote this letter. It's actually a letter to a group of people that he never met. A lot of the people in this place called Colossia were new Christians. There was a missionary who went there, opened a church. A lot of people gave their lives to Christ. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this letter opens up saying, in Colossians 1, verse 3, it says, "We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you." Now, I would pray that somebody who heard of my walk with God would be encouraged enough by my walk with God to be able to write me a letter, and people would read about it 2,000 years from now. But I think even just that opening line, that Paul never met these people. They were hundreds of miles away from where he was. And yet he heard the testimony of how they were living their lives as Christians. And it spoke to him so much that he was encouraged to write them this letter. And we're still reading about it today. So Paul goes on throughout the... I'm going to kind of skip through the chapter here, but he goes on to say how the pastor of the church there spoke to Paul about them, and he says, "He's told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we've not stopped praying for you since we heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." Verse 10, it says, "Then the way you live will always honor God and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." So I started off saying the question I had a lot growing up was, why am I here? And again, I asked it when I was on that mission trip, "God, what am I doing? Like, what do you want to do with me? What's your plan for my life?" We see here the result of having a walk with God. Paul tells us that they were given love for the people around them. They've been given, through the Holy Spirit, they can be given complete knowledge of God's will for their lives, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Through that wisdom and understanding, they're going to honor and please the Lord by the way they're living, by the way they're reacting to that knowledge. And that's really something that I've seen, especially being on the missions field. I think a lot of times we get so bogged down with our lives here, with school and work and family issues and friend issues and trying to show up to church and put on a good face and then go back out and have to live throughout the week. A lot of times when you end up on a missions trip, you're taken out of that environment and you kind of have to take a step back from your own reality and you start to see God working. For us, it was a little bit of a culture shock when we got down to Guatemala. I was a terrible student in Spanish growing up. I took it for 4 or 5 years in school. I was literally the kid when the teacher walked in and saw me at the beginning of semester, she sighed because I failed the last one. So for me to go to Guatemala and have to learn Spanish, which was a huge step. we got married April of 2014. 6 months later, we moved. We left our jobs and moved to Guatemala. I think it was the second week we were down there. We were going up to work in a village on top of a mountain. It was a place Pastor Patrick had like actually been to 16 or 17 years ago. And we were going to stay in a house that was built, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago. It was really just a little log cabin on the side of a mountain. No electricity, no running water. Middle of nowhere, 3 or 4 hour drive from anything resembling civilization. We got up there at night, so it was dark. We just had flashlights and our cell phones. We looked at the bed we were going to be sleeping in, and it was covered with rat droppings. So I started shaking off the bed, and I saw dead scorpions falling out the bottom of it. So we decided right there that we weren't even going to change into like pajamas. We were just going to keep our clothes on. So we laid down, boots, jeans, everything, rain jackets on and everything. and then I started hearing rats crawling around my backpack and over our bags and stuff. And again, I just kept my eyes closed. I didn't, was trying not to focus on it. And then we started hearing bats flying around inside the bedroom. So, again, we made the decision we were going to be missionaries. We're following God's call in our life. It's my new bride. We're married 6 months, and this is what we're sleeping in. And I was laying there in the middle of pitch black. God, what am I doing here? Like, what is going on? Why would you bring me to a place like this? Put me in a place like this? The Bible tells me you're supposed to provide for me. Like, why couldn't you give me like a clean bed to sleep in? Why would you put me in a situation like this? So time went on. We made it through the night, obviously. God changed so much in our lives. We were down there for a little over 2 years. God ended up moving us to work in a ministry there that has a medical clinic. Within a few months of being there, we were teaching after-school programs for young kids, doing Bible studies with second graders up to eighth graders, teaching these kids about the Bible, getting to pray with them. Some of them gave their lives to Christ for the first time because it was just so new to them. And they knew when they heard the word, it was truth. It was stuff that they had never just even experienced before. Shortly after that, we had a nursing school at the clinic where Lee Marie was teaching nursing classes. The pastor came to me and said, "Hey, listen, I want to start doing Bible studies with these kids." I was like, "Okay, great. You know, I'll pray for you." He's like, no, I want you to teach them in Spanish." I said, "All right, you know, I'll take 5-10 minutes before the classes start." He goes, no, you're going to get an hour every Saturday. I want you to do a Bible study with these kids." And I looked at him, I'm like, "That's preaching for an hour. That's not a Bible study." But again, it was God slowly, piece by piece, step by step, all those crazy nights sleeping in the mountains, visiting people, spending time with people, loving on people. It was God slowly teaching us and showing us what he really wanted to do in our hearts, so that we could pour out into other people around us. So last year we were praying. When we got to Guatemala, we moved. We got rid of our stuff here. We didn't have anything to come back to. We didn't have homes to come back to. Like I said, we quit our jobs. There was no intention of coming back. A little over a year ago, we were praying down there. And again, just a little voice as we read the scripture and as we prayed started putting a burden on our hearts for the young people back here in New York. And we both talked and we were like, but we're in Guatemala now. Why would God call us back to New York? You know, it doesn't even make sense. We sold everything. We're here now. We're settled. We got ourselves a puppy down there. Like, we were set. And at the same time, we had been trying to have a child, and it wasn't happening. We were seeing doctors. We had gone for all kinds of procedures, and all the doctors were telling us, we don't understand it. There's no reason why you shouldn't be getting pregnant. It's just not happening, you know. So we kept praying, started praying with Pastor Patrick and Rosa. I told them about what was God was speaking to us about coming home. Made the decision to come back. We flew home December 20th, this past winter. It was a little confusing because we were coming back into America. It was now culture shock coming back this way. Colin talked about going outside and seeing lights. We had just come from a country where electricity doesn't really run so much at night to now walking out the doors and looking like it's still daytime out in the middle of the night. There was just so much stress and pressure coming back here. 10 days after we got home, we found out that my wife was pregnant. So even though, again, in my heart, I was kind of sitting at home like, God, why did we come back here? Even something like that was God just reassuring us that this is why I called you home. You made the right decision. Now just keep going. Got an email about a week after we got back from my old boss. Said he heard, I don't know how he heard I was back in New York, but he heard I was back in New York, wanted me to come see him. 3 weeks later, they gave me my old job back. First week back, I was sitting in my office, and a new guy came in that I had never met before. I was filling out insurance forms, and he looked at me. He goes, didn't you work here for like 10 years? I said, yeah. He goes, then why are you filling this stuff out? I was like, well, I was gone the last years. I left, me and my wife, we were doing missions work in Central America. And he looked at me. He's like, that's incredible. He's like, you know, I'm Pakistani. I grew up a Muslim. He goes, I've been living in this country for a few years now, but my next door neighbors are actually Christians. And across the street from my house is their church. They've been asking me for months to go to church with them. So I finally went the week before that we had this conversation. And he was like, man, it's really good that you're doing, you know, good stuff like that. It's always good to learn new things. So I started talking to him. And we got into a whole conversation about God. And again, God's plan for your life and what Jesus did for us on the cross. After he left my office, I just sat back in my chair and I was like, God, you know what? Even if I just spend the last 2.5 years living on mountains, walking through the pitch black, just so that I could talk to this guy about Jesus, it was worth it. And God really started showing me all the different steps and situations he brought me through over the years. It's for a reason. It's easy to get stressed out and bogged down again with life here because we're so focused on ourselves. But the Bible says if we keep our focus on God, we'll start to get the understanding through the Holy Spirit of what he's actually doing with us and why he's doing what he's doing with us. And we'll start to see why we're going through the situations that we're going through. It might not be easy. There were lots of hard times that we faced being away. There were even harder times coming back. Again, having to readjust, having to learn how to live with our families again. But again, if your focus stays on God and you're constantly in prayer and you're asking for that relationship with him to keep growing, the Bible tells us he'll promise to show us step by step as we need to know what he's planning on doing with us. In Colossians 2, verse 6, it says, and now just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And then I want to kind of finish with the second question. It's not just why am I here. God definitely has a purpose for your life. He's willing to show you. He might not show you the whole picture all at once, but he's willing to show you if you ask. So the second part of my question was, what's next? Like, what am I supposed to do now? Colossians chapter 4, Paul Paul says to the people, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let the conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everybody. Back in chapter 1, it says, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world and is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your life the day you first heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So what's next? It's really simple. If you're in school, if you're with your family, if you have a job, if you're in ministry, devote yourself to prayer. Be alert to when God's speaking to you. Live wisely. That means not committing willful sins. If you know something's wrong, don't do it. Make the most of every opportunity that God puts in front of you. That guy that walked into my office, I could have very easily just said, I was gone for the last 2 years, and he could have walked right back out. But it was because God opened the door and I took the opportunity to start sharing with him and open up about what God had done for me that the conversation kept going. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. There is stuff every day in the news about people arguing with somebody else about how they were offended, about how something they saw or heard or said offended them. We really need to be mindful. If we call ourselves Christians, what's coming out of our mouth? What's being posted on social media? Is it really reflecting Christ in us? A little further back in chapter 3, it talks about being baptized as dying almost to ourselves, and Jesus being the one resurrecting us back out of the water. It's just a representation of that new life in Christ. But if we make that decision, we need to actually be willing to change. We can't walk out these doors every Friday night or every Sunday afternoon or morning and go back to living the way we were before. If you're praying to God, he promises to answer us, but we need to be willing to change. I'm just going to finish reading the end of chapter 1 in Colossians. Paul really tries to emphasize to the Colossian people, because as you read through the book of Colossians, you start to see that the Colossians, they were new Christians, so they were still having trouble converting from their old mindsets. The Bible tells us that they were a very wise people. They had a lot of intellect. So they started trying to mix the stuff that they knew with the truth that they were hearing in the Bible. So Paul just tries to clear it up and says in chapter 1, verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities, and in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body, which is us. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and your evil actions. Yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him. I know it could be hard growing up as a young person. I asked the question myself, God, what am I doing here? What are you doing with my life? If you commit yourself to getting into this word, if you commit yourself to praying, we have Tuesday night prayer, we have Sunday prayer. There's people praying right now for this service. There's opportunities for you to come learn how to pray. God wants to talk to you. It's not this big ornate thing that you need to learn special words or anything like that. Just talk to him like you're talking to the person sitting next to you. Ask him. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, ask him for it. If you have a hunger in your heart to do missions, ask him. Tell him, what am I supposed to do? Where can I go? If you see stuff come up, sign up for it. Believe God that he's going to provide the finances for it. He did for us. When we left, we didn't know how we were going to have enough money to survive down there. People literally who live in California that we've never met started supporting us with hundreds of dollars each month because they saw our picture on a slideshow that they watched a service one night. God is incredible the way he puts things together. It's easy to sit in a seat and look up here and kind of think that we've got it all together. We don't. We have a baby coming in a few weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I'm still processing it in my mind. We don't have it all figured out. But I'm learning, and I've seen God be faithful to me when I was in need, that he fulfilled my needs. Might not have been the way I thought he was going to do it, but he did it. And he promises to do the same for you. So that's it. I'd like to pray with you guys, if you could just stand. If God spoke to you tonight, if you want to dedicate your life to Christ and you haven't done that before, you're welcome to come up here. We'll pray with you. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're welcome to come up here. We can pray with you. Just like our sister shared a little earlier, don't be afraid. Nobody's going to think anything different of you. There'll probably be other people up here. You're not going to be the weird one in the group. It's really a decision you have to make for yourself. Has God been speaking to me about taking the next step, but I'm just afraid to? Tonight's the opportunity to do that. These guys are going to sing for a little bit. As they do, ask God, see what he wants to speak to you, and you're welcome to come up here and we'll pray with you.
You know, when I hear a message like this, it just stirs me to the core, because I can tell you from experience that the Lord knows how to get us to where we need to be. And it all begins with just one thing that the Lord will speak to you. And then when you do that one thing he's asking you to do, and obviously when he asks you to do something, he gives you the grace to do what he's asking you to do. He wants you to lean on him, to trust him, to ask him to help you and to move forward in what he's asking you to do. And as you do that, he gives you the next instruction. And then he gives you the next instruction. And then he gives you the next step. But it all begins with step one, whatever he's asking you to do that, you know. Sometimes it's as simple as deleting your social media account and taking that time to come to a prayer meeting. I'm not saying that's what God's telling you to do, but if that's what he's telling you to do, you'll have heard it. You understand what I'm saying? The pastor will get up here and share a message, or you'll open your Bible and you'll start reading in your devotions, and suddenly the words jump out at you, like Andrew said, which is, I'm calling you to be a missionary. It's just one thing, you know. And then what do I do now? Well, the Lord says, okay, now I want you to go to your boss and tell him you're resigning. And then the next thing, what do I do now? Well, the next thing I want you to do is get rid of your lease, you know, get out of your lease, or give up your apartment, you know. Next thing, sell your car, you know. So it just becomes next step, and then one thing after another. But God's not going to give you step two and three and four until you take care of step one. You know, he might be saying, that relationship you're in right now, it's not healthy. You need to get out of that relationship. Let me help you. Let me help you. And simply, all you have to do is say, okay, God, you just agree with God. Lord, you're right. That is unhealthy. I want to go with you. Get me out of this thing. And then the Lord will tell you, okay, this is what I want you to do. Stop calling that person. Delete their number. Stop texting them. You know, he'll show you what to do. You know, so it's just simple. Just simple things like that. But I'm telling you, you can trust. Don't worry. Don't fret. He will get you to where you need to be. He will get you to where you need to be. All you have to do is trust him. The same God who began the good work in you promises to see it through to completion. Amen? He's the potter. You and I are the clay. He's working in our lives, doing something in us. Amen. And all we have to do is respond and say, yes, Lord. Like tonight, He sends his word, and we just say, God, yes, I want that. What you've just spoken to me, I want. I want that wisdom. I want that love, to love you more and to love my neighbor more. I want to be filled with your wisdom. I want the knowledge of your will so that I can bear more fruit, God, for your glory. Yes, I want that. What you have just spoken, I want that. It's mine, and I claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm not going to settle for anything less than what you have for my life. I'm not settling. I'm going all the way with God. If that's your desire, raise your hands to him tonight. I'm going to ask Andrew to come and pray for us tonight. But lift both your hands as a sign of surrender to God tonight. And as he's praying, I want you to agree. I want you to say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. Yes, God, what I've heard tonight is what I want. Make that a reality in my life, God. Make it a reality in my life. Beginning tonight, beginning tonight. Come on, in your own words, ask him, ask him.
God, I thank you for every single person that's here tonight. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight, God. God, I know I need this word. I just pray that every person that's here, God, you would show it to them clearly, God. As they get out of here and go back to their homes, God, you would give them the wisdom, give them the strength, God. Give them the ability to overcome the struggling, the things that they're struggling with in their lives, God. God, give them the love for their family again, Lord God, their friends, their coworkers, people they see in the street, God. Just begin to fill our heart with love. God, I just pray that each morning, Lord God, we would turn to you, that we wouldn't grab our phones, God, but that we would turn to you. God, seek your word, seek your face, God. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you throughout our day, God. It's only by your strength that we're able to live, God. It's only by your strength that we're able to make it through each day, God, and every situation that we face. God, fill our mouths with words, God, by your Spirit. Just begin to speak through us to the people around us. Begin to speak, God, first to us and then to others around us, God. Just like Paul spoke with the Colossians, he saw the love that they had for the other people and the way they reacted to other people, God. God, let that be our testimony. Let people look at us and be in awe of how much love is in our lives and that we're being able to pour out to other people, God. Let that be our testimony, Jesus. God, if there's people here that haven't accepted you, Lord God, open up their hearts tonight, Lord God. Just cover them with your Spirit, God. Cover them with your love. Let them know that you're here to accept them, God. Whatever they're bringing, Lord God, tonight, whatever they might be struggling with, God, whatever sin might be in their life, God, I just pray for the grace that they'd lay it down tonight, Lord God. Surrender it to you, God. God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the work that you're doing here in each and every one of our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, we avail ourselves to you. We make ourselves available to you once again, God, and we ask that you would speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. I pray that when we open the scriptures, Lord, first of all, give us a hunger for the word of God. Give us a hunger for the word of God, Lord, that we would come to that place where we can, in fact, hear your voice. That we would get to that place, Lord, that we would come to your word, open up your word, and give you the opportunity to speak to us. God, and once we do, we ask that the words would come off the pages, God. Let the words come off the pages. Lord, we don't want to settle for just religion. We don't want to settle for going through the motions and saying, I read my Bible today. No, we have to have a word from you. You said man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, God, give us a word in our devotions. Give us a word, God. Lord, your word says that when you saw Moses turned aside to explore the burning bush, you began to speak to him.
God, we're asking that when we turn aside to have our devotions, Lord, that you would begin to speak to us. God, we're not going to settle for anything less. We don't want dead, boring, dry religion. We want a living relationship with the living God. We want an encounter with God. Every time we crack the book, God, we're asking that you would speak to us, that you would make a deposit in this bank, Lord, that you can draw from in the days ahead, Lord, so that when we meet people on our jobs, Lord, when we meet people in our community, when we meet people on our campus, that we will have a word in season for those that are thirsty, for those that are hungry, for those that need to hear from you, God. God, we're asking that you would stir us to our core. Light a fire under us, God. Light a fire on the altar of our hearts, Lord. Lord, in the days ahead, Lord, a fire that can't be contained, a fire that can't be controlled, Lord, a fire that burns, Lord, something that you have done supernaturally that cannot be attributed to self-discipline or to anything else of the flesh, something that is born of God, born from above, Lord. God, we thank you for it. We bless you for it. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like you taught your disciples to pray. Come on, you ask him. God, teach me to pray. Ask him. God, teach me to pray. Teach me to seek you, Lord, like you taught your disciples. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's thank him now. Let's thank him now.